This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إني وجدت امرأة تملكهم وأوتيت من كل شيء ولها عرش عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. I know the listeners and the viewers are holding their breath, and that's the point on which we concluded, and just to keep that momentum going, and I hope I can adequately stimulate within you the passion to further your journey of the Quran, my brother and my sister, because there's only so much I can transmit in one segment, one episode, which is very brief and concise and inadequate. The Quran is just an ocean of hikam and wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us, as Mufti Shafi'a rahimahullah said, the aim is not to end the Quran, but the aim is to end your life in the Quran. Yes, the aim is not to end. As much as you complete the Quran, that's great, that's wonderful, but that's not the aim. The aim is to die in learning and teaching and being committed to the Quran. Okay, so Hudhud came and gave his explanation, perspective, context, valid reasoning of his absence, and everybody there is listening. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam heard, and we concluded on the note on which Hudhud said, I've got some genuine, definite, absolute information to you. And in verse 23, that's precisely what we share with you as Hudhud divulges to Sulaiman alayhi salam his observations. So here you have it. Inni wajadtum ra'atan تَمْلِكُهُمْ وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَهَا عَرُشٌ عَظِيمٌ. إِنِّي verily I وَجَدْتُ discovered إِمْرَأَةً a woman تَمْلِكُهُمْ who is governing over them. So the narration say her name was Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, as we know. تَمْلِكُهُمْ, she is the ruler, she is governing over them. إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ امْرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. She practically has anything and everything that a ruler would aspire for, in terms of muscle, in terms of power, in terms of resources, in terms of network. She's like well connected. إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ امْرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. And she has a mighty throne. She has a mighty throne. Appreciate. This is a bird communicating with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. The richness, the maturity, and the all embracing nature of this dialogue. So that's verse 23. Inni, once again, we just look at the translation. Verily I, wajadtu, discovered imra'atan, a woman. She's the queen there, the queen of Sheba. Her name is Bilqis. Tamlikuhum, she governs, she rules, she's in charge. Wa utiyat min kulli shay, and she's been given everything. Yeah, everything means in terms of hukuma. You know, a person tells a child, listen, you don't have to go in the candy aisle. We got everything at home. Why I'm saying this here? Because somebody would answer and say, well, the Quran said there's everything. So then is there this in the Quran as well? Is there that in the Quran? So one needs to appreciate it in the context, siyaq and sabaq. She has everything, meaning everything connected to rule. We're telling the child we have everything at home, meaning you have adequate edibles and candies and chocolates to indulge at home. There's no need for you to stretch your hand or for me to buy anything added. وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. She's got practically everything. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. She has a mighty throne. She has a mighty throne. She has a magnificent throne. وَجَدْتُهَا. Next verse 24. وَجَدْتُهَا. I discovered her and I observed that she, وَقَوْمَهَا, and her nation, يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ. They are worshipping and bowing and prostrating to the sun. Now, obviously, the entire thing is changing completely here. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was looking, monitoring, inspecting, observing. Hudhud was absent. When Hudhud came, you know, you at work, and then so-and-so didn't come. And then the boss is upset, the manager is upset. Well, let him come here and just tell him to pack his goods and give him his check and let him leave. And when he comes there, he suddenly reports to you on a family member's accident that he just passed by. So obviously, it's just going to quell your whole emotion. And now you're concerned about the well-being of what's happening. Sulaiman alayhi salam is the Nabi of Allah. And he's come to establish Tawheed like every other prophet. إني لكم رسول أمين فاتقوا الله وأطيعون وما أسألكم عليه من أجر إن أجري إلا على رب العالمين. And now he's discovering that, you know what, you're not too distant away, people are worshipping the sun. إني وجدت امرأة, verse 24, verily وجدتها, I have found her, وقومها, and her nation, يسجدون للشمس, they are prostrating to the sun, min dunillah, and they are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, and the devil has adorned and decorated and beautified their actions, so entice them. And remember, we spoke about this in our opening segment, that's what the devil does. Tazyeen, decorates, adorns, so he makes it look appealing, like one of my teachers used to say, that, there's no substance to the content, but it's just the impressive nature of the package. On a different note, taqrib al-faham, just to draw the analogy close, sometimes a person gives you a simple gift, not much substance to it, not much merit to it, but the wrapping is the most elaborate. It's the most exclusive and elaborate wrapping, with the ribbon and the flower and the fancy, and they've drizzled something and they've used some calligraphy and they used some artwork. And you're like, okay, well, this looks something really outstanding. And when you open, it's something basic, average, common, nothing, So it's quite deceptive. It's almost an optical illusion, because the way the outer wrapping gives off the nature. And then when you really get into it, it's something basic and average. And this is the nature of sin. This is the nature of sin. This is the nature of this world. It gives you this glitter. It gives you this glow. It gives you this look. Oh, wow, this is so big. This is stunning. This is gorgeous. This is just next level. But as you get close to it, you know what? You're chasing a dragon. It's a moving target. You thought it was health that made you happy. You thought it was wealth that will make you happy. You thought fame is the answer. You thought prominence was the answer. You thought this, you thought that. And then ultimately, you need to know, it's only the obedience of Allah that can give you happiness. And I always say, sin can make you look happy, but only obedience will make you feel happy. Sin can make you look, it's deceptive, outwardly, apparently. Oh man, they're dancing, they're in the club, these guys look happy, they look, exactly. That's what sin is. It has to have some external element to it, otherwise nobody would sin. But all it is, it makes you look. But the only thing that can make you feel happy, wallahi al-azim, is obedience. Wallahi al-azim. Why is it when a person is taking substance abuse or he's addicted to porn, why is he suicidal? Why is she suicidal? If it is giving you the inner pleasure, bliss, happiness, and tranquility, then why are you suicidal? Why do you want to terminate your life? That itself is a blatant reflection of the fact that it's just so superficial. Okay, so verse 24. وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, I discovered that she and her nation is prostrating to the sun, right? وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, and the devil has decorated it. فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ, look at the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And today, in a world of promiscuity, in a world of adultery, in a world of immorality, which has become the order of the day, just look at the richness of the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, when you are attracted to any other woman, then hasten home. Come back to your spouse. فَإِنَّ مَعَهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي مَعَهَا, because your spouse and your partner has the same to offer to you like anyone else. So what is the teachings of Islam? Find that happiness within your own and don't search for it elsewhere. And today, the compliments are shared to strangers. And rarely does a husband or wife compliment each other. Rarely are there any compliments shared with each other. Say kind words, say good words, praise each other, acknowledge each other. Find happiness within your own self. The English proverb is, he who does not find happiness at home will not find it anywhere. And it's an effort, of course, to convert the house into a home. And those are the values, those are the morals. The outward architectural structure will just give the external splendor and beauty. But to make it a home, there's values, there's morals, there is etiquettes, where there is رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. The concluding verses of Surah Furqan, one of the prayers and supplications of the pious. Oh Allah, make us leaders of the pious, meaning give us a noble family. So as men, we could be piloting a vessel where the passengers are all noble and righteous and upright. And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma's tafsir is, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِعَيْنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَرَى زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَوْلَادَهُ مُطِيعِينَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. There is nothing more comforting to the eye of a believer than to see his spouse and children in the obedience of Allah. As men, let me make a qualifying statement here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a position of authority, not superiority. Yes. Men are not superior to women. Women are not superior to men. Children are not superior to adults. Adults are not superior to children. Superiority is by taqwa. There's responsibility. And that is the responsibility that Allah has put upon a man. That you are responsible. You are answerable. The teacher is responsible. The teacher is not superior to the student. The principal is in a position of authority, not superior. There could be many teachers that have more years of experience than the principal. But yes, the principal is answerable. He's responsible. So, وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. They are worshipping, prostrating the sun. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The devil has beautified sun. فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. And prevented them, blocked them from the path of virtue. فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. So they are not guided. So they are not guided. And this is the bird saying, Hudhud. Verse 25. أَلَّا يَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبَأَ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Wow. They do not, because the devil has made polytheism appealing to them and enticed them into it. So now they are worshipping the sun and they are not worshipping Allah. So they are not prostrating. They are not prostrating to Allah. And in this particular verse 25, Hudhud highlights one of the many qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah yasjudu lillahi alladhi yukhriju al-khaba'a. They do not prostrate to that being who reveals and produces the hidden things of the earth and the skies. So khaba'a in Arabic means yakhba, to conceal, to hide. This is a masdar, right? You would know. But it's in the meaning of makhbu, in the meaning of maf'ul, makhbu. So the things that are hidden in the earth and hidden in the sky, Allah is that one who can unveil it, reveal it, and produce it. Now look at the beauty, man. The scholars say, appreciate the recognition of Allah by this bird. Look at the dialogue. The bird is narrating to Sulaiman. So strange. So, you know what, it's important for you to know about this. That this is what's happening close by. They prostrate into the sun. And they are not prostrating to Allah. And who is Allah? The one who reveals, who exposes, who produces the hidden things from the earth. Why did Hudhud in particular introduce Allah or describe Allah in this way? Because the scholars say this bird used to dig into the earth and then take out the insects from the earth and eat it. So due to its familiarity with its provision, which its sustainer had provided it, it appreciated it. If a person is a cardiologist, he knows and understands that every limb, as a Muslim, Allah-conscious cardiologist, if the hands reveals to you the greatness of Allah, the eye right? We are told it's the second most complex organ in the body. It's how amazing, how unique it is. So the eye itself. But because he's a cardiologist, he's going to explain the greatness of Allah through the heart. Because that's his study, that's his in-depth. And there also, there's a cut-off point. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ They'll tell you, I know so much. Only Allah knows the absolute. So because that's his field of study, so the likelihood is he will explain and impress upon people the greatness of Allah through the heart and its function. So the bird is explaining the powers of Allah through its channel of sustenance. Because it would dig into the earth, and this is mentioned in Tafsir al-Uthmani, it would dig into the earth and take out those hidden insects. And sometimes you would see with the beak how it's pecking through and then taking out those little herbs or insects and eating on it. الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبْءَ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And likewise, from the skies or the clouds, how Allah sends down rain. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُخْفُونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ And Allah knows, Hudud is saying, that which you, meaning the entire creation, conceal and reveal, that which you display and that which you hide is absolute in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they are not prostrating and bowing and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hudud is still giving his narrative, his explanation, his context. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَ Every creature intrinsically knows how to worship and glorify Allah. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى Allah has given every creation its appearance and then inspired it in that direction. الَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى Allah proportioned, calculated, and accordingly guided. Wow. Wow, that's just amazing, amazing. So that's verse 25. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Verse 26. Hudhud is saying, Allah is the absolute being. La ilaha illa hu. There is no deity besides him. Huwa rabbul arshil azim. The truth be told, he is the possessor of the mighty throne. So there's a question here. That in verse 23, when he introduced the discussion to Sulaiman alayhi salam, he referenced, meaning the bird, referenced the throne of the queen of Sheba as also mighty. And then the same Hudhud, you know, in three verses later, is referencing the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mighty. And the answer given is that he referred to the throne of the queen of Saba as mighty compared to other kings and rulers. But of course, the throne of Allah is mighty in the sense compared to Allah's other creation, the skies and the earth, as we learn in the hadith, the kursi, and then the throne. The throne of Allah is absolute mighty. So that's it. We'll conclude on that note. Hudhud concludes its story, its perspective, its explanation to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. The question is, does Sulaiman alayhi salam accept the verdict, the narrative, the explanation of Hudhud, or does he challenge the veracity of the narrative of Hudhud? Let's wait and see.